Welcome to BL Talk, where we discuss issues of importance. These are the matters of concern to minor attracted people in general and boy lovers in particular. Join us every week for a new discussion. Now, here's your host.
Okay, hello, and welcome to BL Talk, the weekly podcast where we discuss the issues that are important to minor attracted people in general and boy lovers in particular. I'm your host, Zoom Zoom 4, and today our topic is the question, simply, of whether we were born this way. Why are you a boy lover? Was that ingrained in your DNA somehow from the start? Or did certain events in your early life cause you to become this way? Usually people say that BLs have some kind of early experience, like they got touched by a man, they got molested, or an experience with other boys. And whatever it was, something like that, caused them to want to return to it. But what about BLs who haven't had anything remarkable happen in their early lives? How does it explain it then? How did it happen with those guys? So if gays are claiming that they were born that way, and certainly most heterosexuals believe that they were born that way, couldn't that be possible with BLs too? So today on our panel is a boys XO, a cowboy, Gary, and Wolfrunner. Thanks for being here, guys. I want to thank you all for participating. Let me start off with XO. What do you have to say about that?
Well, to start it off with, first of all, scientific studies have determined that a person's sexual orientation is not a conscious decision. It's something that is either nurtured or nature. If you ask heterosexual people if they have been nurtured into being straight, they will say no.
Yeah, they think they were born that way, right?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. And so most others probably are as well. I can see that there are some instances in which nurture can be a dominant factor, or at least a factor.
Yeah, however, it can influence it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely possible. But as for myself, I believe that I am a natural heterist. This is how I was born. This is how I went all through my life. This is how I am now. My actual first BL experience, if you want to put it that way, was at 7 years old with a 4-year-old.
Okay, and yeah.
Yeah, and I guarantee you that no one put that idea in my head. That came about naturally by itself, and it had stayed that way for the past, Until now, it hasn't changed. So my position, as far as I'm concerned anyway, is that one of the aspects of being BL is that it is natural. Now, like I said before, I can see where there might be instances where nurture has taken place of that. There is a joke about two homosexuals walking down the street. They each had a button on. The first one's button said, "My mother made me a homosexual." The second guy's button said, "If I buy the yarn, will she make me one?"
That's funny.
Okay. So that's my beginning position.
Okay. All right. So, okay, cowboy. Did anything happen to you in your early life that would have made you a lover of boys? And by the way, what is your AOA? I don't know that. Can you tell us that as well?
8 to 14.
Okay, that's about roughly me as well. Yeah. About, that's mine as well. That's probably very common.
Yeah,
Yeah, mine is life 9 to 13.
But did you have anything happen in your early life, like with other boys? Like, well, let me just say that I did, in case you guys didn't know. Like, when I was 11 years old, I kind of, you know, wanted to do things with my 10-year-old best friend who lived down the street, and he let me. I say let me because I'm the one who initiated it. I'm the one, because I guess, like XO was saying, like, I already knew what I wanted, and nobody put that idea in my head either. I already liked boys even as a boy, but I was the one who initiated it, so I can't say that that was something that happened to me. You know, that was something that I did, and I believe acting out of what's already still with me. But in your case, how would you say it came about?
For me, I was born this way. Like, I've
so why
always,
do you feel that way? Why would you say that?
I've always been attracted to younger boys.
It's, even when you were a boy?
Yeah.
Right. Many of us could say that. That's not, I was me too. You know. So were you like 7 with the 4-year-old, or like, you know, like me when I was 11 with the 10-year-old? Did you do anything like that? You just looked.
Yeah, because you know, at that time, it's like for me, it was always a no no.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, don't do things like that.
Did is that because someone put that in your head? Did your parents tell you that? Were you always hearing that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably pretty common. So yes, you didn't dare do anything.
No.
But you enjoyed looking at them, at the boys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, how about you, Gary?
I think in my case, I was definitely born this way. As a kid, I found like everyone sexually attractive. Now it's a bit more, you know, exclusive, I would say. I kind of wanted
You're
to fuck
pansexual?
Out. Yeah. Yeah, wow. Basically. Okay. I didn't really have an AOA in particular. Uh-huh. It's kind of funny because I was around 7 and I have a distinct memory of me finding like a boy around like 4 to 6, maybe, like really attractive. I mean, younger than that. Like, not, I don't think he was 6. Uh-huh. He looked significantly younger than me, but I remember finding him like attractive.
Uh-huh.
So I had a similar experience to that. And I think I was just kind of born like this.
Uh-huh.
I did have SA happen in my childhood, but like I have memories of me finding people significantly younger than me attractive, like way before that started.
Before that started, yeah. So you can't blame, like not blame, but you can't attribute it to that because it was already there. You already know that it was already there even before that.
Yeah, and I think nurture does play a part, at least in regards to when people identify themselves as boy lovers.
Yeah, yeah, true.
When they have like the cojones to be like, oh, hey, I want to fuck boys. Like,
a lot of people say that online. Yeah. They do that online. You know, they let loose. You know.
Yeah,
like,
I think
like when they first get on like a secure messenger or something, they just You know, shout it out loud kind of attitude.
Yeah. I think nurture at least plays a part in like the coming out aspect. Definitely.
Uh-huh.
But I personally am of the belief that a lot of it is biological, but I think there might be like some nurture in there when it comes to I don't know. I've tried doing research on it myself. And there's like a lot of conflicting sort of studies I've read, but the ones that lean towards sexuality being more a nurture thing, not exclusive to MAPS, but even just with like queer people, a lot of the ones that attribute everything to nurture tend to be funded by like religious organizations and people that might, you know, have a bias. So,
yeah. Oh, that's true, because religious organizations and or other organizations that are, you know, other type of right-wing organizations that are against homosexuality in general, they do have the attitude sort of that it's a choice. Even if they say they don't believe that, then they'll still come out and imply that heavily, you know, in their advertising and in their, you know, just in their message overall. And so, Wolfrunner, do you want to tell us about, in your case, how this...
I truly believe that you're born with your sexuality. I really didn't know a whole lot about sex or anything until I was a little older. But when I was 12, in church no less, there was these two little boys. They were twins. And I just loved to stare at them because they were absolutely gorgeous boys.
That's one of the best places to see boys in churches.
And I kind of didn't understand my feelings at the time.
They were very young then, huh?
Those boys. But, yeah.
How old were they?
They were probably about 6 or 7 at that time. Seven.
And you're thinking you couldn't take your eyes off them, huh?
Right. And that was not nurtured. That was, I wasn't molested. I wasn't. I knew very little about sex. So it was just a natural feeling.
Were you thinking sexual thoughts when you're looking at them? Because you were 12, I mean.
Yeah.
Or was it more instant? Oh, yes, okay. And so that came from within.
Yes.
No outside force, like, brought that onto you. It's like, yes, you would have had to have been born with something like that.
And my opinion is they can do all the studies they want, but if transgender people can go, I was born like this, and homosexuals, the gays and lesbians, if they can go around saying I was born like this, well, why can't we?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of studies that are starting to suggest that we are, and a lot of them are available. You know, if you look online, and you can see the increasing amount of research that's starting to go in that and imply that, or you know, even state it outright. Because there's still a lot of taboo against, you know, in the scientific community or in the, you know, psychiatric community where they publish these papers in the academic world. There's still a lot of taboo as appearing in research to be pro-MAP. No one wants to appear to be too much, on our side, but they want to be without appearing to be too much. So you kind of see a lot of that happening now. Or they're starting to say that it is something we're born with. I mean, it's a sexual orientation like any other. Personally, I believe that the human sexuality is just like a rainbow of flavors, you know, so to speak. It's just a variety and has varying degrees of expression in different people. And, you know, not even that no two people's sexuality are the same, even amongst us. BLs, you know, we have different tastes, you know, in boys, different AOAs. Because it's all just the spectrum, you know, and everyone lands somewhere on it at some point.
Right.
It's not. I don't think it's just as black and white as people have always thought all along. But okay, well, is there anything else any of you want to add before we wrap it up?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
I did some research in preparation for this topic. And so I would like to read some of the excerpts that I chose that I think are relevant, if you will. Okay.
That'd be great.
The first psychological test undertaken to determine whether there was a biological explanation for homosexuality was in 1957 with a grant from the National Institute of Mental Health. Karen Hooker studied the relationship between homosexuality and psychological development and illness. Hooker studied both homosexuals and heterosexuals, matched to age, intelligence, and educational level. The subjects were then given 3 psychological tests, the Rorschach, the thematic apperception test, and the make-a-picture story test. Hooker found no major differences in the answers given between the two groups. Because of the similar scores, she concluded that sexuality is not based on environmental factors. It is not completely known why someone might be lesbian, gay, straight, or bisexual. But research shows that sexual orientation is likely caused partly by biological factors that start before birth. scientists do not know the exact cause of sexual orientation, but they theorize that it is the result of a complex interplay of genetic, hormonal, and environmental influences. They do not view sexual orientation as a choice.
Okay. And this study was from the 50s?
And the original research started in the 50s and has continued to this day.
Okay. Yeah. And so, yes, there's not a choice. Right. Because why would someone choose that anyway to begin with, if you think about it?
Why would someone what?
Choose that. I mean, wouldn't someone choose the path of least resistance? Wouldn't everyone choose to be straight if it could be a choice, if it was...
Well, certainly, you know, being a boiler is one of the most difficult orientations in the world.
Yeah, so who would choose it, right?
Who would choose it?
You would think.
That's exactly correct. And also, studies show that removing the social and cultural inhibitions towards, you know, same-sex orientations or whatever, 50% of the population would be either bisexual or homosexual.
Yeah.
50%. Uh-huh. That's a large number. Out of the 7 billion people in the world, that means 3.5 billion of them would be homosexual or bisexual, or at least engage in cross orientation experience.
That's true. That's a large number. And you know that this type of relationships, you know, BL relationships have been going on since the beginning of time. Just, you know, because it's a human thing. It's got nothing to do with any specific culture, time or place. It manifests itself where it's not repressed. It manifests itself, you know, and has throughout history. You know,
homosexuality and boy love has been an issue before there was even a language describe it.
Right. Yeah. It's a good way to put it. And true. Correct. Okay. Did you have any more research or quotes that you wanted to share?
Actually, there are. While environmental factors influence gender expression, gender identity is a person's internal sense of being a boy, a girl, or something else, and it cannot be changed. Children learn gender roles through observation and imitation and tend to internalize what they see. For example, a girl who is told that boys are better at math than girls may believe that she is not good at math and may perform poorly on math tests. Is homosexuality found in nature? Same-sex sexual behavior, that is, any attempted sexual activity between members of the same sex, has been reported in over 1,500 animal species, including all main groups from invertebrates, such as insect spiders, echinoderms, and nematodes, to vertebrates, such as fish, amphibians, reptiles, birds, and etc.
Huh. How about the mammal world?
Yes.
How common.
And for now, it appears that early life experiences, learned behavior, neurological connections, and genetics all contribute to fetishism. With progressive destigmatization of fetishism, there will likely be more research about the origin of fetishes. But there is a little actual research going on right now.
Too much stigma to research it, just like with boy love and, you know, the difficulty of getting, you know, real answers about it.
It's not the physical behavior, but yes, it's the inhibition on the part of the researchers.
Yeah, because it's too controversial. It's like I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Exactly.
You know, I'm scared of it. And can you blame them? Almost. I mean, because it takes a lot of courage to take that on.
Well, it takes a lot of courage to examine your core beliefs and to accept new information based on relevant empirical research. That takes a lot of courage, which most people do not seem to have.
Right. Well, I meant that it takes a lot of courage for someone to for a scientist or academic to research this because of the controversial nature of the subject. But you're right; it takes a lot of courage for someone reading the article to change or to challenge their beliefs based on what the article says. Right. To have an open mind. Yeah, yeah, and that happens. I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but it happens very slowly. You know, it's like a trickle effect, but you know, this change that we see, change of tone that we see in all the articles that are being written, you know, saying that that we need to be understood better and should be studied better, and the stigma should be taken off so that it can be studied and understood better. You can start to see more of a sympathetic type of view. I know it's hard to see, it's hard to imagine, but
and another it is thing there. Is. Another thing is cultural morality. Now, people have a tendency to think that morality is something that is ingrained or engraved in stone. It is not. Cultural morality is something that is based on the current social, societal, cultural influences. In past times, morality has been different. It's been okay to do this, been okay to do that. For example, in ancient times, it was usual for a female of maybe 13 or 14 or so to marry a man who was 18 to 22, thereabouts. Yeah. Okay, that was perfectly all right. But today, that man would be a child molester.
Right.
Okay, now there's there are just different social and cultural influences that determine that. And
yes.
It is not a sin. It is not wrong to have homosexual sex or to have consensual sex with someone under the arbitrary age of 18. That is just so ridiculous, preposterous, and unrealistic. It is beyond belief.
Well, you say under 18, but it depends on how low the age goes that people, you know, their level of outrage towards it gets higher as the number goes lower, you know. So,
yes, and, you know, and there are people that are really ready to have sex and get into a relationship when they're 10 years old. And there are others who are still not prepared for it at 40.
And so... But they consider it so deeply immoral, like for an adult to say to touch that, to even touch that 10-year-old. The minute he touches him, you know, he's a monster. It's reprehensible, and in all those other words that they attribute to it.
That morality is arbitrary. It is not realistic.
Right. Right. Yes. And I understand that. Yeah, I know. It's society is just so deeply in belief of that. But what if, like the book, that written by David L. Riegel is called "What If?" Could they all have been wrong? Is what it's called. It's an interesting book, by the way. I'd recommend it. So, is there anything else you want to add, Exo, or anyone?
I think I pretty much said everything that I wanted to say.
No, I'm good. I have something to add, right. I guess.
Okay.
My thing is whether or not it is a nature or nurture thing or both, we deserve respect regardless. Like, I realize research this right now is really important because I think getting the point across of, hey, this is literally something a lot of us can't help. It's just a part of who we are. That's a good thing. But regardless, even if it is like a nurture thing and I don't know, something really arbitrary in childhood makes people boy lovers or whatever, it shouldn't matter. Like,
shouldn't matter.
We deserve respect regardless. Uh-huh. You know?
That's a good point. Yeah. Even if that was the case that something happened to make it, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You still deserve respect, just like anyone else.
Everyone on the planet, regardless of their social, cultural, economic status, is deserving of the fullness of human respect and dignity, without exception.
And of age also.
Yeah.
Regardless of age.
Let me add that this concept of equality, okay, everyone being equal, that is never going to be a functional application. No one is exactly equal in every way as every other person. Some people are smarter. Some people are not so smart. Yeah. Some people are better looking. Some people are not so better looking. Some people are ambitious. Others are not ambitious. When we're talking about equality, what we mean is equality under the law, so that everyone is treated by the law the same, whether you're Elon Musk or whether you're the homeless person down the street. You are still entitled to the same respect and the same consideration under the law. And being a billionaire is not going to get you out of 10 days in jail for whatever it was. You know, that's equality. That's the only kind of equality we're ever going to get.
And hopefully someday we'll get that when it comes to age of consent and such, right? Okay, well, I want to thank you all for participating. Thank you, XO. And thank you for bringing those quotes and that interesting research that you were talking about. Cowboy, thank you. Gary, thank you for sharing. And Wolf Runner, of course, I appreciate that. And I want to remind everyone that we have episodes of BL Talk on the in the audio section of the BL Library, which is bl-library.org, and at the official website, which is bl-talk.com. You can listen on demand to this episode and all the previous episodes. And we'll see you next week here at the same time. Thank you for listening. This is Zoom Zoom 4, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on BL Talk are solely those of the individual participant or speaker and do not reflect the official stance of Wired PM Radio or any of its affiliates.